Damn. Welcome to the Power of Friendship, episode 124, 125. Does that matter? This comes out soon. How are you today? We have a special, special guest. Awesome person. Introduce yourself.
Hey, what's up, guys? I am Diego Anthony Nunez. I am a writer, and I am notably known for as the Geek History Lesson Research Assistant for the Geek History Lesson podcast with Jason Inman and Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Which is my mommy and daddy podcast. They birthed me. And But thank you for coming on. I always hear your name on the podcast, of course, and your tweets and your videos. And I was like, I got to have this man on my podcast.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah. A lot of my friends are writers, which I think are interesting people. And I love how you guys critique things that come from Benny and Diego. I love how you guys pick things apart and when your opinions are different than mine, I'm like, oh, I see things differently. So I said, you guys give me adult insight and make my life better. So I'm glad. Thank you for you and Benny. I love writers. I think you guys are amazing what you do.
Thank you guys.
And like that's like the best thing I've ever seen. Like, and I love like hearing like opinions of like what you guys would do with certain things. So I'm gonna ask you certain things, like certain things in certain TV shows, like what would you change, or Buffy and Charmed. Did you like Charmed? No?
I actually didn't catch on to Charmed. I'm a big Buffy and Angel fan, and Veronica Mars is my other jam. So
yeah, I peeped that. But also, welcome to the Power Friendship Podcast. I forgot to do the intro because I got so many questions. Just appreciate my friends. I'm Sailor Gaines. My co-host Ben J. Bonko, the most beautiful man in the world. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. I love doing the show, doing the podcast, but I got to get questions. I got to ask questions because I'm excited. This is one of my favorite people in the world. Ashley and Jason are like my favorite people in the world. Not going to lie. I stalk you guys' pages and you guys think. I'm not going to lie. Especially you, Diego. We're the same person, but like in the multiverse. different. Okay.
So I like
first question. We got to get this answer. The DCU has ended.
Right.
Maybe.
Bro, that's been like ended should. Like every year. I see
yeah,
the
right?
same shit.
It's always the last one.
Was that actually the canonical like studio like name for the entire like cinematic universe, or was that fan made?
As far as I know, the Aquaman is the end of it all, and the next thing should be James Gunn's Superman.
Legacy.
Outside of Joker, of course, but that's like over there, you know.
Yeah,
but like, what's it going to be called though? Like, what's the name going to be given for, like, what's everything after Legacy?
DC Studios.
DC Studios or DC Cinematic Studios, something like that. I don't know.
It's still going to just be called the DCEU, or is this going to be called? And I really hope it doesn't like be called this like the Gunverse or some shit like that.
Call it the DC Studios. I think James Gunn is up. I think he's gonna stick it to Marvel. Like he's learned so much.
Are you sure?
I think he learned so much. I think after he got in trouble, he was
First off, studios, like they will always fuck up shit somehow.
I know.
Like,
yeah. It's very tricky, right? Because it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, like, not to be such a cynic about it, but it's just like, I mean, they're betting a lot on James Gunn, right? And like, the thing is, it's like he doesn't have a good financial track record outside of the Guardians movies, right? Trust the man with the cinematic universe. It's betting a lot, and I mean. And I'm not going to make like wagers if the movies are going to be good or not. Like the man's very competent. He could tell very good, compelling stories. I just don't know if it's going to be as financially feasible as, you know, as Warner Brothers is hoping. But I also know like Warner Brothers is just in a whole other world as well, with just things aside of the DC universe. It's just, you know, just, I mean, all the major studios have just been in major issues. I mean, if there's any like truth to the Paramount merger stuff, I mean, it's just like,
please no.
Yeah, right.
That's a monopoly right there, bro. Like, we think Disney is bad. That would be horrible for everything.
Part of me does want Ninja Turtles and Batman, but that's fine. That's fine.
You could get that, but like, it's so weird because like with Gunn being in charge of like literally, I say the cream of the crop of, like, comic book, like, history and lore. Like, with Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman alone, it's just so much. Like, that's... But, like, you make a good Superman movie, all people are going to ask is, where's a Batman movie? We want a Batman movie.
Right, it's like, right. Oh, it always falls through.
Batman Brave and the Bold is going to be interesting.
But you think that's going to affect, like, the Batman?
I think not. Well, he said, that he tried to get fucking James, well, he tried to get Matt Reeves Batman, and then he was like, Matt Reeves was like, nah. Nah,
well, it's fine. That's fine. I didn't agree to this.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Because
so, I mean, the Batman sounds interesting. There was rumors about Robin and when Clayton, but he shut all those down. I just like how vocal he is about just saying, like, oh, no, this is not happening. No, this is not happening. This is, you know, but Matt Reeves' Batman is interesting. He needs a little bit more oomph, I think. I like the movie, but it needs, like, it's straightforward Batman. Like, it's like, it's not... Nothing crazy,
but like I like that.
You, I mean, it's funny, right? It's a twofold thing. Like for me, it's like I love the first half hour. Like, you know, all the build up with, like, you know, establishing the city, the rain, the aesthetics. It's like something straight out of like Jeff Loeb or Frank Miller or something like that, right? And then when you kind of get into the weeds, like. The thing I don't like, and I hope this improves in the next one, is it just kind of expects you to understand everybody's relationship. So it's like, it doesn't put too much effort in, like, giving Alfred much of a character, right? Or, like, the repertoire between Bruce and Alfred, and just, or the relationship between Selina and Bruce. Like, it's almost like the movie expects you, like, you know who these characters are, kind of get with the program. But I'm like, you're giving me new actors, you're giving me kind of new characters because it's new actors playing them, and I need a little bit more, like, scene. I need more, like, I don't know, a little bit more meat to this, you know? And that was, like, one of my major issues with that movie, was just it expected you to kind of just jump in with the characters, and I wanted more establishment with them, you know, or more time with them.
Yeah, because. I just want my Batman should be fighting. I want Man-Bat and all that creepy, just
mystery. That would be fun.
See, it's weird because I thought the 3-hour time frame was actually really good because I thought a lot of people complained about the length of the movie was way too long. But I was like, this is a new universe. The longer, the better, because, like, I need to, like, care about these characters. But I do agree with the Alfred part because I felt like having – fuck, what's his name again as Alfred?
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis.
Having Andy Serkis, I was like, dude, that's a good pick because it's giving me Batman Earth 1 vibes. But like he was just barely in it, and I'm like, and that's like one of my favorite relationships of any Batman stories, him and Alfred. And there was just nothing there. But I do get like, oh yeah, like, you know, these people have sexual tension. It's like, well, do they? Because
it's a lot more plot driven, right? Because it's all Riddler stuff and all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, I don't know, with like the mystery and all that.
Okay, who do you think is the best written Batman character?
Oh my god,
best written Batman character. Oh man, best written Batman
overall.
I will have to say, because like it's competing. Like I love Batman, but like I love Catwoman too. Like she is right up there with me as one of my favorite characters.
Okay.
Like,
okay,
and she doesn't always have banger stories, but like when they are. They are really, really good. Like
Joelle Jones is killing. I liked her.
Liked her run. I'm a big fan of Ed Brubaker's run on the character. I actually really like the '90s run, like the cheesecake stuff. Like, because it's like there's something very like, yeah, I will admit it's very cheesecakey, but at the same time, like there's something very charming and very like there's just some. I always love it when, like, particularly with female characters, when they kind of wear their sexuality on their sleeves. And they have fun with it, and it's like, and it really leans into it. And that book to me is just all fun. Like when I think of '90s comics, I do think about that very fondly, and I have a good time reading that stuff. But then like you get stuff like the Tom King stuff, and like, did you guys read the Batman Catwoman like Christmas one-off issue that they did?
Yes.
Ending messed me up. Like, can I swear on here, by the way?
All you want.
It fucked me up. Like, that ending made me so, like, it broke my heart, man. And I was like, but that's, like, that's the kind of stuff that I love is, like, when people really get Selina and they nail that, like, that's the stuff that gets me.
That's Selina. Okay, okay. Me. Do you think Selina and Batman belong together? Or you want to...
I am that guy. Yeah, I am that shipper. I do like... Because that's the only one that I feel like if there was a Batman that belongs with a... In his universe, for lack of a better word, like in the costume and stuff, it should be Selina. But if there was ever like a civilian, I always like that kind of aspect as a alternative. Like, you know what I mean? I don't care like if it's a Silver St. Cloud or something like that. But in terms of like when it comes to people like knowing who he is and capes and costumes and stuff, I always feel it should be Selina.
I like it. Okay. Do you have a least favorite Batman character? Least favorite.
Oh man, least favorite. Man, that's a little tough because it's like I do really enjoy the Batman universe. And like there's not a lot of characters I would think of where they were like, oh, let's, you know what? I will say, this might get me flack actually. I'm not a big Ra's al Ghul fan actually.
Oh,
I'm
thinking about it. Ooh, why? Like, why?
Because they
whitewashed him in the movie.
Yeah, right. No. his character has never like clicked for me. Like, I do like sometimes what writers do with him being his like superior or like an alternative version of what Batman is. But like, I've never seen enough stories for me where it just I haven't ran into that story where he clicked for me as a character. Because okay. I always believe with a comic book character, like all it takes is one story for you to get into them, right? And I haven't ran into that story for that character yet, where it's just like, you know, and it was so funny because it's like when Batman Begins came out, I was like, oh, Ra's, okay, that's cool, that's fun. But I'm also kind of like, oh, it's Ra's, oh, okay. Like, but I mean, and it doesn't deter me from enjoying that movie. I very much love that movie. I think it's great. And, but it's just, he's not always going to be my first choice, you know?
I like it. I dig it. Okay, cool. All right, I want to talk to you about everything. All right. So, Buffy aside.
Okay.
All right, who's your favorite Buffy character? Let's get it.
Buffy aside, already knowing, oh, you're going to take her off the table.
Yeah, Buffy aside, you got to take Buffy off.
I guess, because you know what's so funny is, I would say Angel, but Angel is like my favorite character on Angel, so if we dive into Angel, I would just say Angel. But I would, so I'm going to take him off the table too, because he's sort of an obvious answer for me. So I'll have to say the next one is going to be Spike. I really do love Spike.
Ooh, okay. Did he win? Okay. My favorite is, I like Faith. Faith is my girl.
Faith is fine. Yeah.
That's my doll. Did you read the Buffy comics? Did you ever get to the Buffy comics?
I read some of them. I never got a chance to deep dive. Like years ago, a buddy of mine just gave me like a bunch of like almost of the entire, like, I don't know, first 40 issues or something like that. And so I read like a handful of them, but I didn't get to into the weeds of it, but I did end up finding out what happened. And like, you know, I heard like, you know, cause you hear from the Buffy fan base and you kind of hear like the stuff that happens throughout and like with Twilight and all the twists and that kind of stuff. So I know about it, but I haven't actually like read it in context.
Nice. Okay. All right. Writing, okay, you're a writer. All right. Mm-hmm. I love writers. Okay, you guys are great. Then you can answer this to like, how many times a day? Like, all right, how many things are you working on right now? Like right now?
Right now it's pretty light. I have two projects that I'm currently working on. I'm working on a personal script for myself, and I'm scripting for a new short video that I'm going to release like in maybe hopefully in a few weeks. It's just going to be a quick turnaround one that I'm going to do. But yeah, it's usually just two projects. And then that just depends if something comes up with like Geek History Lesson or something like that, or like another side project or anything like that. But I try not to juggle too much. I try to just do two max because of just the way my brain works. It's just, I'm always committed to the one project that I'm working on. Like, and so I have to do a better job of juggling and stuff like that. But yeah, I try to do no more than two or three.
Okay, cool. All right, Benny, what about you? What are you working on? You're always cooking.
I finished a short story for like New Year's, but I don't know if it's going to come out for New Year's, but it's called Happy Fucking New Year's. It's a short story I've been writing and finished that. And then I got really into these creepy YouTube stories like house invasions and weird shit. It's like, not healthy, but it got me back to writing this the serial killer story that I was writing last year about two people going around the country and killing racist waiters.
interesting.
Just it all stemmed because I had my first racist experience with a waiter a year ago. So that pissed me off. So I was like, you know what? Let me get to writing. Vengeance. And
Are you a big true crime, like, horror fan? Or is it just something that just kind of, like, popped out at you? Like, I kind of need to get this out.
Like, anytime there's something, like, interesting true crime-wise, I get sucked in, like, easy. Because it's, like, it's weird to dive into the head of, like, what makes these people do what they do. Especially for, like, serial killing. Like, because there's always, like, a ritual and the pattern and the history with it all. And it's just, like, it's fucking fascinating in a really twisted way because it's like the human psyche, like what makes that person tick. And the creepy thing is, it's like there's a currently maybe like 100 active like serial killers in America, but like you just don't know. You don't know, man. It's weird, man.
It's unsettling. What about you? I'm a big horror guy, but like I had a true crime phase when I was a teenager. Like it was when I was a kid, I was like, ugh, true crime. Like, ugh, get that away from me. But like, I had a buddy that was really into it, and it just sort of clicked with me when I started reading things like on John Wayne Gacy, and Richard Ramirez was the big one because that was a big legacy thing for here, because for me living in L.A. And
that are you talking about the one that was killing the old ladies?
Night Stalker.
Yes, the Night Stalker, yeah. Because like
that dude was disgusting, man.
That was weird for me because like I grew up when my family was kind of dealing with repercussions. And not that they dealt with that personally, but that was just one of those things of like they lived through the 80s of having to shut the windows and having the door locks and stuff like that. And
dude,
that was
creepy, right? That's so weird. That, like, your parents had to, like, deal with that shit. Oh,
and they
God.
And they had to, like, train me and my little brother to be, like, to mentally be prepared for stuff like that. And so when I got into high school, like, I had that phase where I would do kind of, like, sort of like you, where you just get, like, morbid curiosity, I guess. Like, just fascinating stuff because you want to learn about it and get the psyche of it down. And, like, and I had this phase where I was really obsessed with, like, the idea of evil and human nature and all that. And then I just, like, does evil really exist? And I guess serial killers are kind of like the closest thing to that because it's so like without empathy or anything to write. It's like, I don't know. It's crazy.
And it's wild that you're talking about Buffy because I've been reading this book series for the last 2 years. It's called The Dresden Files.
Okay.
And I forget the voice. It was one of the actors in Buffy. I think it's Matthew something. He does the voice audiobooks. I forget his fucking name. John Marster? Is that his name?
Oh, James Marster. Oh, Spike. Yeah,
James
Marster.
So, yeah.
Spike.
Yeah, he does the audiobooks for this entire series, and literally, like, all the blurbs, it's like, think Buffy the Vampire Slayer starting Philip Marlowe and stuff like that. Like, they basically, it's like Harry Potter meets Dirty Harry.
Okay, okay.
Like, it's a wizard, it's like urban fantasy, so it has, like, all the grim lores, all like anything you can think of like fairies and the darkness, it's like all real, but like they're underground in Chicago.
Oh, that's
it's
kind
like
of fun. Oh, that's cool.
And it's like a long, like 17 currently book series. So it's like,
oh wow. So it's a thing.
It's like going on Netflix, writing a show that has like 10 seasons and like 20 episodes. And every episode is like at least 40 minutes. It's like something that I've been diving in and just, It's fascinating. And then, you know, it has aspects too of like, is evil like, you know, something with the unknown, or is it like inherent and shit like that? I don't know. It's fascinating.
Oh, that's rad, man.
So really delve deep into some weird shit. Sorry.
That's what I'm favorite. This is why I made this. I love
tangents,
hearing writers,
right?
I love hearing writers talk. You guys are smart people in the room, and I like it. I like
so,
it a lot.
When you're doing your I guess because you said you fact checked or you look up information
research.
So like how long is like your timeline to like research all the stuff before they upload an episode?
So I've kind of got it down to a T now where it's funny because when it comes to scripting it's half and half in terms of like when it's actually going to turn into an episode. Cause a lot of times they'll just kind of want to bank the script. So that way they have it. And when they're ready to record it, they'll record it in like a month's time or something like that. They just kind of want it. So they don't have to worry about it. Like in their, you know, taking their time to do it. And so I've kind of got it down to a system now where I usually get about 3 weeks And so I spend the first week doing like bare bones research. I look up everything I can on Wikipedia. Like, and if it's a Marvel or DC character, I look on, like, I usually coordinate between standard Wikipedia and then like specific fandom Wikipedias, whether it's Marvel or DC or something like that. And I basically try to find the structure of the lesson. And then I spend the second week basically doing research again, but looking everything up in context. So everything that I think is worth talking about or exploring, I go look it up in the actual comics and try to find it digitally. Or, you know, if it's a character that I love, usually I'll have something on hand and I'll just go reread for a little bit, or at least read certain scenes or moments in context. And like, that's when I kind of give it my own spin, like my own interpretation of the events. And then the last week is just finalizing it and just making sure, doing all the final touch-ups, make sure it reads good and that it looks good. And then I send it off to them.
Damn, you sound like a professional man in the chair.
I like it. I love it.
Yeah,
I love
just it. Have I love everything.
It. I love it. What is your? What was the hardest one to research?
Kang.
Kang
the Conqueror. That was I told you, like, every time it comes up, I am so glad, because they told me it was their most listened to episode, and I'm shocked but also very happy about that. But when they gave me that episode, it was like I didn't know who Kang was, like, you know. And it was like right before Ant-Man and Quantumania was coming out, like, nice. It was Insurgents for that, so I had no idea who this character was. And like the first few days I wanted to tear my hair out. Like, I was just like, I couldn't, like, just trying to understand who this character was. None of it was making sense. I was becoming a manic. And then, like, once I kind of figured out my rhythm and, like, what to talk about with the character, like, it's so funny because it's like, you look at that, because a lot of it, I try to keep, like, the scripts at least, like, a few sentences for, like, you know, like, I try to make it not look so dense. But Kang, that script looks almost like straight out of an Alan Moore script. Like, it's just, like, words, just flat out words, like, you know, just bricks of, like, paragraphs of just talking about this character. And once I kind of figured out my rhythm and what was worth talking about, I kind of got it down. And then, like, you know, it infamously, and Jason says this on the episode, is I send it to him. He emails me back and he's like, hey, I'm sorry, but I need another rewrite because this is not, like, making sense to me. And I was like, what are you talking about? It doesn't make sense. It makes sense to me. Like, I was just so knee deep into it that it just, all the craziness of Kang was it made sense to me after a while. But like, I had to, like, you know, kind of like, again, you're making this for an audience and, like, you know, for them to understand and make it digestible. And that was just, it was so hard. But like, it was even to the point, like, one of my friends who's like an avid listener, she had to tune out on Kang because it was just so complicated. Like, you know, but like, I'm just so glad, and again, to Jason and Ashley, of just, like, they took something that was so, like, dense and almost incomprehensible and made it such a fun episode and fun to listen to and just, you know, like, a good time, you know? And I'm very grateful for that, because, like, pain in the ass. That episode was a pain in the ass.
Okay. Is there any character that you've, like, you hated at first, and now that you've done researched it, you've done, like, full 180 on?
It might have been the one that immediately jumps out to mind. It might be Riri. Because I was very, not that hate is a strong word, but I was very cynical of the character. Because it was just like, you know, because it was part of that wave that Marvel was doing when they were kind of replacing all their characters. And I never gave her a fair chance. I was just kind of always like, you know, just there to replace Iron Man. Okay, whatever. And when they asked me to do the episode and I was kind of reading up on her, I was like, you know, she's kind of cool. I kind of like her. Like, and you know, the fortunate part is I think the Iron Man stuff is kind of the worst aspect about her, because everything else is so cool that I think she should just be her own character and they should do something more with her than just like kind of pigeonhole her to being like a legacy character for Iron Man. Because yeah, like once I actually saw her with her own agency and like saw like the potential in her, I'm just kind of like, man, like, yeah. So yeah, that would probably be the more direct answer. More specific is like the 180 on her was like, yeah, I was like not a fan and became a you know, very, very beholden.
I love it. Is there a character that you haven't done yet? Well, you can't spoil, but you can't spoil. Is there a character that you want or episode you want to do?
Okay. So my big one was Emma Frost. Like that was the first thing I asked for when, And that was because she's my ride or die. And that was like the, like when I first wrote an episode for them, that was like the first thing I asked for with Jason with an email. I'm like, whenever it comes up, I want to do it. I got to do an Emma Frost episode. And then luckily it just, I sort of came out of nowhere. And he asked me, it's like, we need to do an episode. Can I know you can do it. Can you do Emma Frost? I'm like, I'm doing it. So
yeah,
so I did get my wish fulfillment on that one. My next one, though, and they are very aware, and it's publicly known with the fans, is my next one would be Power Girl. I would love to do Power Girl.
Me.
Yeah, Power Girl, is it, so cool.
Is it coming out for, like, Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
No. What?
Why not? That's just a smart, that's a strategic, I was just saying.
Synergy, yeah, right?
I Power Girl is one of the ones I was like.
I just think she's so underrated and so overlooked. Because like actually that's a character that to answer your question was like that was a character I did not like. Like when I first got into comics, mm-hmm. like that was a character I was like, what is she like? I didn't understand her. I was like, she's a Supergirl ripoff. Like I didn't understand like how nuanced and weirdly complex mm-hmm. she is. And then like I was reading like her in JSA, and I read the Amanda Connor.
Yes.
Jimmy Palmiotti stuff, and I was like, "Oh, yes. She's very adorable. She's endearing. So cool. She's like an adult Supergirl. Like she clicked with me, and suddenly, I love her more than Supergirl now. I became really enamored with her.
Me too. She's an Earth 2, right?
She's like a remnant. It's complicated. It is very complicated, but yes, that's kind of the gist.
But that's why I like about like when she got her crest in Earth 2, and with James Robinson.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was so cool. I like, okay, cool. I was like, I'm with this, but Power Girls is slept on, man. Especially Injustice. Shout out to Injustice.
Woo! Yeah, right.
Yes, shout out to Injustice. She was cool.
Yes, I'm so happy about that too. Yeah,
but I Power Girls was a character. I was like, you know what? I was surprised because I was based off just like, oh, a boobs. No, it was more than that. A lot
seriously,
more than that.
I don't know. And again, it's just I always go back to that run because it's just I love that just like she's just an everyday girl with a cat and it's just like
Read comics, people. Read comics.
Yeah,
comics
right.
Are amazing.
Comics are fun.
Comics are amazing. So is there a dream character you want to write? I mean, yeah, besides Emma Frost, but like you want to write
For like the podcast or just
for the comic book, just like a comic book character. Like you write? Would you ever write? Have you ever written a comic?
I've tried. I want to learn it because I do think it would be fun. Like, I have some ideas. Like, I mean, I would love to, like, tackle the Suicide Squad. Like, I have a really solid Suicide Squad pitch.
All right,
off the top of my head. Okay, so Captain Boomerang's my boy. So, like, I love how much of a piece of shit she is. So, like, he's on there. You know, I know there's complaints about it, but I do love the character. I would throw Harley Quinn in there. I know it's going against everything.
Yeah, but I agree. Okay, all right.
And then like you know, I would do Deadshot because he is a staple. Like he's just such he's such a solid staple. But like, I would love to like really do some deep dive, like just weird obscure characters, like Angle Man, like you know, just weird, like just things characters you don't think about, like who the fuck is that? And I'm like, you know, almost do like what James Gunn was doing with Polka Dot Man, just kind of just go deep in like DC Silver Age lore and just like. Just bring them up and just like, let's do this. Okay. Let's make a new character for them.
I do like that.
You know, another missed one that I'm surprised they don't use this character often for this is like Sportsmaster. I would like to see Sportsmaster more often. Like,
you're
right.
What?
Like,
yeah, okay, Sportsmaster. Shout out to Sportsmaster.
Right. I love him in Young Justice. So like,
just like we say, Young Justice or anything.
Yeah,
you go to the comics. I'm like, you know what? Okay, cool. Okay, cool. I like it. I dig it. Okay, Suicide Squad. That's a good one. I would love to see your Suicide Squad.
Diego
Suicide Squad. I'm down. DC,
let's get on this, guys. Hit me up. I'm always available.
Yes, please. Please. Okay, writing. The aspect. All right, what is the hardest thing about writing to you?
Man. The consistency, like just kind of being on top of yourself about it. Because, like, you know, so something I struggled with as a writer for a long time was just kind of getting to do it. Like, I love the planning. I'm a big outline kind of guy. I love sitting down and coming up with the ideas and like formulating everything and trying to make sense of it all. But I think it's like, and I've kind of gotten it down to where like, I, even if it's just an hour or half an hour, it's like it's a reward that like I did something, right? I wrote something and at least it's done. Because I used to beat myself up where I'm like, how am I not spending hours a day writing? And just sometimes it's just like, because, you know, I tell myself if you write every day, it's a success, you know, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be a script. Like, I had to kind of realize that, like, even if it's a posted, like a long, extensive post I'm doing on Instagram or, you know, a scripting for a YouTube video or anything to that extent, it's like, that's writing, you know what I mean? And I had to kind of tell myself, like, hey, if you're writing, if you're keeping your brain stimulated, it's all good. But in terms of like, actually, like getting my, like, I work better with a deadline. Like, that's why I'm always on it with Geek History Lesson. When like, I get a date from those guys, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it. But like, when it comes to my own stuff, like my own scripts, and it's like at my own leisure, that's so much harder to do because it's just sort of like, I'll get it done whenever, you know, maybe. Like, I don't know. So that's it's hard to kind of just stay committed because I need commitments to get myself to get stuff done, you know.
I love it. Okay. Also about writing, do you have a favorite writer? Who's your favorite writer?
I have a few. I am a big Alan Moore fan. I love David Mamet is a big, and actually of contemporary standards, I'm a big Tom King fan. I fell in love with that guy like immediately.
I love his Wonder Woman.
His Wonder Woman is phenomenal. Right? Like that.
I am love.
Yeah, I'm in love. That is the run I've been waiting for a long time.
Tom King is one of the dudes that are like the best.
Yeah, that's the guy. Like, and it's funny because I know it's controversial, but I'm a big fan of his Batman run. Like,
I thought it was changing. I liked how he did what he did. I like what he did.
That was like, and like, I know it has its problems and it has some meddling going on, but like through and through, I love the thorough line. Like for me, when I Am Suicide came out, like that. That broke my heart, and that was like that, and that I needed that book when it came out, when it did, and that was where I was like, I'm sold on this man, and like I will read anything that guy puts out, kind of thing, like even good or bad, like, and you know, not all of them have been winners for me, but like at this, but like, you know, I'm never disappointed when reading it, you know what I mean? Like it's like I'm never upset that I read a Tom King book, you know?
Yes, never. I've always like I think he gives me more of like, whoa.
Yeah, I think I for me, that's what I'm always looking for with my writers is just something with a little bit more teeth and substance, just something that kind of, I don't know, something that resonates me with more than just what I'm reading or watching or, you know.
I dig it. Did you like his Supergirl?
Yeah, I really liked his Supergirl. That was really good. Supergirl. Yeah.
I'm excited to see that. I'm surprised they picked that as like, as a movie?
Yeah. I was like, that's an interesting baseline. I hope it'll be fun. I mean, you know, and it's familiar territory because he's gone on record and said this, where that book is like True Grit, which is funny because I'm not the biggest fan of that movie. But, you know, but in the context of Supergirl, it's pretty funny. And to make her be like the Cogburn character, I was like, oh, that's kind of creative. I kind of like that.
The DCU has ended.
Yeah.
I've seen your videos multiple times. I love all of them.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
We have the Zack Snyder thing. We've had the same thing. I like how you just did everything. We have the same timeline of like, we like Zack. I love everything he did with DCU and all that stuff. Like, I wanted the rest of it. That's all. Me I'm too. Saying.
Yeah.
But okay, so out of all the DC movies, which one has the best writing, you think, of all of them?
That's tough because you can make arguments for a lot of them, I think, like, because immediately what came to mind was Wonder Woman, because it's, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but I just mean like it's the most standard in terms of a comic book, like it has the appropriate three act structure, and it functions as well as it can be for a good comic book movie. Like, to make a good comic book movie, I think it, like, but like, I have such admiration for Batman v Superman because of how complex it is and how complicated, and you know, and again, like, I know that's the complaint, is the incoherency of it. The other one I'm a big fan of and is Birds of Prey. Like, I love that as a script, to be honest. So,
I love that movie.
Here's the thing, like, okay. So, I love Margot Robbie. That's a thing I wear on my sleeves. That's something I'm upfront about. I love Margot Robbie. And, like, but that script and that movie is so funny to me because it is such a throwback to like 90s comic book movies. It makes me think of like The Crow. It makes me think of Spawn, Tank Girl, and like Blade, because it has these attributes where like it's a short runtime, like of under 2 hours. It has a certain aesthetic and style to it. It's action-packed. It's kind of like a good, fun popcorn movie, and it has a soundtrack. It just has all these attributes to it that's just like... And it's I don't know. It's just, for me, it really, really works for me as a really fun throwback. Like, I love it for that.
After the scene with the rain, I was like, with the housing music playing, yeah. This is my movie. I was surprised the whole time. I was like,
I was hopeful. Like, okay. That was my thing, because, like, I was already a big, like, I'm a guy that just always bets on Margot Robbie, and so I was already going in, like, fingers crossed. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a banger. And, like, for me, it was the evidence room scene. Like, that was, like, that's what made the movie, like, and good. When it did, is it Black Daddy, when they use that song? And it was just that, yes. Like, I love a good, like, soundtrack action scene moment, and when that, like, happened,
Oh, my God. I just love, DCU had just, for me, just all the movies were just different. Just like that.
You get variety, right?
Yeah, and I was just like, so I was shocked every time. I'm like, people don't like this? I'm like, what is going on? I don't know for me. I was just like, okay, different. MCU is fine. Like, it's fine to me. Yeah. It's just like, oh, but like the DCU was like, it's just like, okay, it's different. It's different. You care. I feel like there's more like substance and more like depth.
And that's been my thing.
Stop. Stop trying to defend the MCU. It's trash, bro.
Okay. Bro, I think it's trash.
Bro,
I think
first off, no. When you watch Godzilla Minus One and you see a $15 million budget and you watch Quantumania, you can't say that movie's okay. No. The studio has been wasting money and has been abusing their employees.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Well, you can argue too with Godzilla, because when you read the stories about Godzilla and how Japan works, that's a whole other thing too. But because when you realize where that $15 million budget came from, and you realize like how you break that down, it's a whole other layer to that.
What the fuck? Now you gotta say it. I
didn't mean to piss on it. It was just that's the harsh reality with like fucking when you work in the movie industry. It's just it's awful labor work, you know. And it's like, and then like honestly, so like you know, to kind of turn it up back around and not to make it about my video, but it's that point I made with the Justice League. You know, that first initial cut. It's like, and you know, and this is my overall problem when people rag on CGI work. It's just like, bro, it's not their fault that it looks like shit. It is fucking the studio's fault. Like, it's that short turnaround time. Yeah. Like, that's like, you know, like the reason why, like, Zack Snyder movies or Guillermo del Toro or James Cameron, like, why their movies look great is because they understand what goes into that. And they give it that time and effort. They understand the attention. Mm-hmm. But when a movie looks like shit, and I don't want to blame it on the director, but it's just, there's a lot of bigwigs that are involved that just feel like, oh, that stuff could fall to the wayside. We just need to get it out there. You know what I mean? And it's just like, same thing with The Flash. Like, you know, you look at The Flash, I feel bad for that movie, what that monster that movie became, because it's like, they were shooting things up until March and that movie released in June. Like, that's insane. Like,
That's crazy. I'm just like, eh.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, it has to go with the executive producer. So Kevin Feige, I mean, like, first off, you got one man working on, like, what, 15 projects at once? That's like,
yeah, that's making all these decisions. Like,
I mean, like, and then also you have different divisions where you have TV divisions, you have movie divisions, you have video game divisions, you got comic divisions. It's like, bro, you gotta, that's why there's always this change of command. And that's why I always appreciate, like, the DC movies, because I have the mindset, it's like, oh, it's a Black Label movie. It's its own self-contained thing, and I love that.
It's insane to me, because I'm like, I can't believe they let Zack Snyder get away with as much as he did. You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy. It took after BVS for them to be like, oh, we need to get hands-on with this now. Like, they let him make, like, they let him walk around and make Batman v Superman the way he wanted to, and I'm like, they okay. They let him do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
like, those movies are wild to me. And I have to admire that. Like, I love artists that just kind of go big, and it's like, you know, quality and all that is put up the question and taste. But like, for me, I'm like, I love it. Like, I love big swings. Hey, I love seeing stuff that's different and flavors. Like, you know, like, I'm not going to complain about that.
No. And like, even like the Joker, I mean, like, come on. Like, when did you ever think that they were going to make a Joker movie like they did right there? I mean, like,
that movie's so funny to me, because again, like, I have complicated feelings about that movie, but it's like, but the fact that it exists, it's like, it's a sad clown movie that made $1 billion. Like, I don't, like,
That's crazy.
Like, that's crazy. I don't know what to say to that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
What are your conflicting thoughts about the movie?
It's just, like, I don't mean to keep tooting the horn of the same criticisms that's been lobbied at it, you know, because it's like, I wish it was just really a straight up a sad clown movie. Like, I like that aspect of it. It's really the comic book stuff that really throws me off. Like, I was like, do we really need to see the Wayne murders again? Did we, you know, the Bruce Wayne, Thomas Wayne aspect of it all? Like, it was when they were referencing stuff to the comic book world where I was just like, I'd rather just have a sad clown movie. Like, just give me that. Like, because that's to me is like the most compelling stuff. Like,
it's like DC's like, we gotta put the murder, because that's like, that's in the byline contract of any Batman story. Show the murder.
A Wayne will die. I will give you that.
A Wayne will die. He has to die. Oh, man. I'm excited to do with Lady Gaga and everything.
I'm curious. I'm morbidly curious with that one.
I just want bad romance.
The musical aspect, I'm so for it. If it's
that's
like,
all I want.
It's going to be nuts.
The musical aspect, I'm for it. I'm like, a Joker musical movie? Like, come on. Why not?
Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah. I mean, at this point, yeah. Why the hell not? Let's just do it. Let's go.
I'm all for comic book movies changing the game. Like, I still want Professor Pig in the Batman 2.
I think should happen. That should be the next logical step is Professor Pig. Like, what they did with the Riddler, I've been hearing that. I'm like, I think Professor Pig makes a lot of sense for that universe.
Mask?
That'd be terrified. Fun. I think
they gotta give it a David Fincher type feel to it.
Oink, yeah. Like, just kind of keep that aesthetic that they've been going on. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In a Robin, I do want a Robin in it.
I don't know.
I am a Robin advocate. Like, I do think it's time we need to start seeing some Robins, because it's been
30 years.
Like, it's kind of crazy, because like, everyone always hangs their hat on the Chris O'Donnell or the Burt Ward of it all. And I'm like, who cares? Like, Robin is badass. Like, you know, nobody thought Batman could be badass, but like, you know, we watched Tim Burton, and it's like, let's give that shot to Robin. Like, it needs to happen. Like, sorry, I'm gonna drink water.
Oh, it's fine. Hey, man, drink your water, please. Drink your water, everybody. Please drink your water. Gallon a day, vodka. Maybe. Hey, no, no. But yeah, I would love to see the Batman or Mr. Freeze. I would love to see.
Oh, that'd be fun too.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of my favorite castings of all time.
I have a huge soft spot for Batman and Robin. Like, dude, that's amazing.
Listen, I'm buying a hot toy of Mr. Freeze.
Let's kick some ice.
I love this. This is my favorite thing in the world. Chill. I think that changed me, bro. I said, this is what I want. And every comic movie, that's what I want.
Look, that movie is so unapologetically toyetic, and it knows what it is, and Joel Schumacher's like a delightful gay man that's just directing the gayest Batman movie of all time, and I love it. I'm here for it. I love it.
And
it's the architecture, like, you know, like, these, like, grandioso figurines of these guys holding stuff, like, it's so ridiculous, and I love it. It's just so unapologetic. I love it.
I'm playing my action figures right now, and I love it. That's all I'm doing. Shout out to Rick Farland for making the figures too. I'm a little mad.
That's nuts.
I gotta build a figure to get Mr. Freeze, but it's okay.
It's all right. It's okay. Gotta do what you gotta do. Right.
Gotta do what I gotta do. But I'm gonna get him. Some way, somehow. Let's get it. But yeah, I love. Oh man, I just can't wait. I just want Matt Batman to be fun, Mr. Freeze. But yeah, but my favorite Batman has been Affleck.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you on that. Yeah,
it's because of the scene that he was naked in the shower in the uncut version.
Listen, man. I'm all thick butts. We all out here. Look, man.
If a man looks good, he looks good. That's what you gotta call it out. You know. But I don't know. For me, like,
perfect.
Yeah, like I like what they did with him. For me, the emotional arc, like, to me, that's the closest it comes to, like, when you get Kevin Conroy in Mask of the Phantasm. Like, I just think that, like, it's just actually like an arc that, like, you could follow, like, where he's at one place in the beginning and a different place at the end. And it's like, to me, that's the only other one I could think of where it's just, I feel like a Batman that, like, you. Oh, no, I'm shortchanging Christian Bale, but. Regardless, it's like, I do feel like there is an arc there, and it's just, but even just the aesthetic, like, I could go, like, ogle that costume, just the gray suit, the mask, his bulk, it's just like, I don't know,
I said, That's Batman.
He literally was like the most Batman looking as Batman, and everybody was the most looking Superman ever.
I took my mom to go see that movie, and my mom was like enamored by him. Like when she saw him in his Bruce Wayne getup when he's at that house party. And she's like, I love his pepper hair and stuff. I'm like, yeah, like, he looks good. Like, it's just, like, he just has that, like, cheesy kind of, like, I don't know, slyness to him. And it's just, like, I love that scene and just the way he delivers his dialogue and what they gave him for. Like, my favorite line is, like, when he's staring at Gal Gadot, he's like, wow, pretty girl, bad habit. Don't quote me. It's just, like, it's just so slick, you know? Like,
that's Batman, man. That's Bruce, man. Yeah, I said, the smile, like, and the smirk, I said, that's fucking Batman. That's Batman. I'm like, yo, that's Bruce. That's Bruce. I just wish we got the movies, but it's fine.
Just that one. I wanted that one so badly. Ugh.
I was hoping, man. I mean, like, the closest that we got was the BBS. That was,
I'm okay with that. You know, I could settle with that and the Snyder Cut. And the Snyder Cut, I mean, gives you 4 hours worth of Ben Affleck Batman. So it's like, I can...
And I love that too, because like the fucking theatrical one made him a fucking joke, which I was just like,
I mean,
it's weird, like, you know, like it's so weird because they just change his character all around, and they kind of try to make him more like bat dick, and like the way he tries to provoke Gal into being like, oh, you gotta lead the team, but I'm gonna be a dick about it. Oh, is that what your friend Steve Trevor told you? And she's just like, fuck you, bro, and pushes him, and it's like, okay, like where did this Bruce come from, like.
Watching it back to back, he's changed so much, man. This is crazy.
That's a wild experience.
All right. Listen, I'm going to tell the story till I die. Look, bro. I saw it.
Oh my God.
And when the movie came out, listen, look. We got to the theater. It was a standing ovation.
You probably did it too.
I did it too, though. Like, hey, look, I'm with you. Like, But you know what's so funny was, and I will say this, I'm actually curious if this worked for you guys too. What I noticed, the stuff that I loved was the stuff that was actually from the Snyder Cut. Like when they showed the first Green Lantern, my audience applauded. And like Snyder Cut, you know? And then like, you know, when you see the scene of them fighting Superman and the Flash goes around him and then you see Superman like trailing him, like we reacted in the theater. Awesome. That's stuff that was in the Snyder Cut. So I'm like, okay, like I can live with that. Like the stuff I was reacting to was the stuff that was I would have reacted to anyways in the Snyder Cut. Like,
right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, people love this? Like, what the heck? And then I got outside.
because it literally fed them like a Marvel movie. That's why a lot of the people reacted the way they did.
I liked when he was like, do you bleed? And I was like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, but he said that like in a British accent, which is so weird. I don't know.
Bleed, you will. I said, okay, I'm with it. I'm dead. That was hard. And then
you know the one thing I did not like though about the whole DCEU is the over reliance of Zod in so many movies, in three movies.
That got weird. That got really weird.
Yeah,
because
like Man of Steel, which makes sense. That was amazing. But then you got his corpse being Doomsday, and then he was in the Flash.
Well, I like that when he was in the Flash, though. I did like that.
I just didn't understand like why he was in the Flash. And it's Michael Shannon's interview was so funny. He was like, I don't know what I was doing. I was just, they asked me to, and I asked for Zach's blessing, and he's like, go ahead, bro, I don't care. And it's just, it is confusing. I'm like, he's just there. And like, I think too, it's just because like, I love like how, you know, because in Man of Steel, it had a certain aesthetic, it had a certain style. And in the Flash, it's just so like, ugly, for lack of a better word, you know, like it's uglier than it looked in Man of Steel, and it just, that harsh contrast was like really like, I don't know, it was a whiplash for me. I was like, ugh.
Flashpoint was, I don't know, I was like, are we gonna do Flashpoint? What are we doing? I don't even know what happened. I'm just like,
they missed a chance of getting Anthony Starr as Reverse Flash.
Snack Snyder. I just the Snyder Cut, just when he did that scene, he was. My mind was blown. I said, and they watched this and was like, nah,
they were like, we're cutting it. Goodbye.
we're cutting this out.
We don't have time for this shit.
The Snyder Cut just, I knew it existed, and I was like, bruh, there's no way this is a new guy. I don't know. I don't. This is crazy. Now I want to see the air cut, the all that.
I want to see the air cut. Yeah.
With the Harley, he posted that Harley the other day.
Well, that's what breaks my heart about that movie, because it's so funny. Like, I hated that movie when it came out, right? Like, that movie's a hard watch for me. And I rewatched it recently, and I kind of watched it under a different lens. And I'm not going to say that I like the movie, but, like, there are some brilliant moments in that movie when, like, you watch certain scenes that are kind of isolated. I'm like, wow, this is actually really well acted and, like, really well executed. You just realize, like, it's just surrounded by so much, like, studio meddling, for lack of a better word, just so much shit around it. And then, like, and it really makes me think of, like, man, I really want to know what David Ayer had, like, cooking up, because there probably was, like, something really, like, decent in there, you know?
I heard parademons and all types of stuff was in that movie.
Yeah, like, that was supposed to, like, tie in with the Snyder Cut a little bit, and there was supposed to be, like, a little bit of setup. Like,
He had a plan, and I'm just like, why didn't you just stick to the plan?
Just fucking, like, back your artist up. Come on. Like,
yeah, man. And he was just like, it was just so, like, I think the DCU was just, like, an actual art. It was art. It was art. Like, I cannot, when they came together, and they were fighting, and they said, I was like, yo, that was, like, I don't, listen, man, I will watch Justice League Snyder Cut any day of the week. I've seen it at least 10 times.
I love that movie. It's like, yeah, I don't care. Like, for me, the 4 hours, I'll sit my ass down. But I'm like that with a lot of movies. Like, if there's a long movie and I love it, I will sit my ass down and watch it. I don't care. Yeah. Like, I get captivated, you know?
That's why I love, movies are my favorite things, like, to do and escape.
It's a great experience, man.
I will never forget when I'm like, my TV, I was like, yeah, he was, and I like how he runs. I think it's like, he run like that. He's so different. The Flash would run like that.
I like that they goof on him, but I like it.
I don't know. I just felt like an artist. He was just like painting. He was just,
there's like emotion to it. There's a fluidity to it. Yeah, I like it. Especially, like, I think it works because it's in slow motion. Like, just the way you just kind of see his movement flow and stuff like that. I agree. I think there's something cool to it.
I just love what Zach had to offer and stuff like that. I just love that everything. I don't know. To be the DC, just, like, as just an artwork of just, like, it's art. It's just to be as, like, it's
not. Well, like, I mean,
takes superhero films to the next level. That's all.
It felt like what it was trying to do, where, like, Marvel was just kind of, like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's just like it was like standard fun popcorn movies. Like, that was the mission statement, right? Fine. And it's great. Like, there's been some great, like, MCU gems in there, you know? It's like, and it's great. There's something for everybody. But, like, with the DCEU, like, I genuinely felt like it was trying to do, like, the standard, like, graphic novel stuff, like the Kingdom Comes and, like, the Killing Joke and the Dark Knight Returns stuff, like All-Star Superman. And that's where it was like, it was shining, you know what I mean? I just wish there was more confidence in that,
I believe Marvel has that, like, certain things, like the Winter Soldier, I think, had some things and stuff like that.
My taste in the MCU is fucking weird, so it's like, you know, I throw my hands up when it comes to MCU conversations, because, like, I'm like, my favorite is Age of Ultron, and nobody wants to hear that, so I'm just like... give me the fucking Ultron Pinocchio parallel. I love it. Like, I got no strings on me from James Spader's voice. I love it. I'm all in. Give it to me. I love it. I love good performances like that, where it's just like, he just doesn't give a fuck, and I'm just like, let's do it. Let's go.
But Black Widow was the one I was like, I've read Black Widow comics, and I was like, why did we just... Black Widow is so interesting, man. Make her a super soldier in the back.
That movie was way too fucking late for that movie coming out when it did. Like, that, like, shame on you for that, MCU, for that.
Oh my god. Like,
that, okay. So, I stopped watching MCU movies after a while, and, like, I even gave up before Endgame. Like, to this day, I still haven't seen Endgame. Like, I have not seen Endgame. Yeah.
I
watched Infinity War and I was like, I'm kind of done. Like, I was not, like, here for the cliffhanger. And I was, I'm that weird guy that hasn't seen Endgame. I told you, my taste in MCU is weird. But I always said to myself, I will come back if they do a Black Widow movie. Because I always felt like she deserved one. And that she was actually my favorite Avenger. Like, I thought she was the most compelling character. And so when they did it and I watched it, I was like, wasn't worth coming back. Like, it's fine. Yeah, it's not horrible, but it's just fine, you know? It's just like,
I wanted the after Avengers, the Black Widow. And then you give her the super soldier serum and explain all that stuff like that. And then you just put her back in the past, have her fight Bucky, and then you do Winter Soldier. That's what I wanted to do. And yeah. That's what I wanted. And then, I don't know. I just think I think Black Widow is just an interesting character. After reading her comics, though. And I said, oh, wow. There's so much to this character. And then
there's so much Marvel to mine, yeah.
Yeah, and Marvel had, MCU had a chance to have the first female, and then I was like, do it. I just don't know why you didn't do it.
You know, it bumps me out, like, not to redirect it, but it's like kind of makes me feel about, like, bad about Captain Marvel, too, because I actually do love Carol Danvers, and, like, I started reading, like, the Brian Reed Miss Marvel stuff, which I really liked, and, like, and I was like, oh, man, I wonder if I'll really dig it. I like the first, like, quarter of that movie. Like, that first quarter is really solid, and then it just really gets away from itself really, really quickly, and then I'm just kind of like, and again, it's not bad, it's just fine. It's just, you know, and that's what I kind of started running into with the MCU, it's like a lot of them are just fine.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a hater. I'm just like, I've seen like I just like complex things. I don't know. I just like that. It's like,
I like variety. I like flavor. Like, you know, like, I'll say this too. I'll be bold. I love the Marvels. Like, I went to go see the Marvels this year, and I really enjoyed it. And like, so like, okay, here's the thing. Like,
my
thing is, it's like, I liked it way more than Captain Marvel. Cause that's what made me go watch Captain Marvel. It was like, oh
yeah,
does this, you know? And then when I watched it, I was like, no, they're two different movies. Like, for me, the Marvel was really much, I'm going to give it up to Nia DaCosta. Cause I really love her as a director. I think she's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And
talk to Candyman.
Oh, Candyman's phenomenal. I love Candyman. And, and that's why I watched it, though, because I was like, I loved her Candyman, and I'm like, I kind of curious what she would do with this. And, like, you know, and you could feel, like, the studio overwhelmingly, but there was, like, there's her elements that are in there. And I felt the same way about Multiverse of Madness with Sam Raimi, where it's like, their personalities kind of, like, pop up in there, and I'm like, you know, they're obviously director for hire, but, like, the stuff that's them, that's what kind of got me. And I was like, and with the Marvels, it's like, I don't know. It was like, there was just something very goofy, like earnestly goofy. And like
I love
that word on its sleeve. Like, it just seemed like this nod to like low budget 60s, 70s sci-fi films. And it's like, and it's I loved it just for that. Like, you know, just for the genre of it. It's like, that's just like, you know, it's a very standard story. Fine. But like, I don't know. There was a lot of personality to it that made me like it, you know?
Yeah. You're a fusion of me and Benny. You're me and Benny. You mean
are
me
we,
and
fusion, me and,
definitely. Me and Benny fuse together, we'd be you. That would be me.
Sure, because I got nothing nice to say about that movie.
Hey, go for it, man. Like, I want to hear commentary. Like, I love to hear different opinions in discourse. So please, Benny.
You didn't watch it yet.
No, I've seen it. No, at the end of the day, like, I hate the fact that none of these movies, like, literally core S or, like, well, the whole Multiverse of Madness. Don't watch fucking, what's her name?
WandaVision.
Literally, the whole premise of her whole character was so good in that story, and then completely just disregarded in the film.
Okay.
And it's just, like, there's so many aspects of, like, they used to be so good of complimenting each other, like, you know, as a continuing narrative. And, like, this entire phase has just been nothing but, like, all right, fuck it. Let's try to do what Marvel's doing and, I mean, DC is doing, and just do whatever you want. But, like, to tell a connective narrative. And I'm like, you can't do that. You gotta
I heard that's been the biggest complaint. Like, if you love WandaVision, Multiverse of Madness kind of spits in your face. And if you love, if you're watching Secret Invasion and stuff, the Marvels kind of spits in that space. Like, it's just... just like, again, there's no actual thread anymore. But, like,
but Scarlet Witch has always been the person I'm like, all right, eventually she's gonna be like, I feel eventually she's gonna be eventually the Avengers, like, big bad villain. Like, they would have to fight
that'd
her.
Be kind
of yeah,
fun.
Yeah, eventually she would have to fight her in the end of, like, you know, not like as like a villain, but as like a conflict. She certain believes in certain things. Like, she's a different how she thinks different. I figured it would be like one of those complex movies where, like, it's this way, one way. I was like, okay, but I like how Doctor Strange, like, okay, murder. Okay, she murdered everybody. Murder. I said, oh, we're doing horror movies. This is what we're doing.
That's what got me. Like, when Sam Raimi, like, it's scene when she comes out of the mirror and she's all, like, contorting and twisting. I'm like, that's Evil Dead shit. I'm here for it. I love it.
And then there's a hallway scene where they're running away. a horror movie. It's what I
love it. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah,
but it sucks like having a director like Sam Raimi, which is like a very just notable director, and then your next movie is going to be a different director. It's like, damn,
there's not a cohesiveness, right?
Yeah. And that's going to be my big problem when the next Avengers movie is going to come out, because you're not going to have like the Russo brothers. You're going to have some probably unknown like planted director there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now we don't even know who the villain is in Avengers 5.
I
think they have MCU a chance to
Dumb. It's like, just recast. Like, literally.
At that point, I mean, Kang is anybody. So it's just like, he has so many different variants. He looks like...
Him and Ezra Miller did the most like wildest characters to like do things because one person's gonna
go to prison, the other one is not.
I would have him just run through Flashpoint and then be a different actor.
What I would have done is, because you know one thing I did like about the Flash in terms of story context was the sort of Barry Wally dynamic that they were setting up with him, like future Barry and younger Barry. And just just scrap the younger Barry aspect and just bring another young speedster and just set that up, and then that's your new Flash. Whatever. Like either that or let's say, because you know, this is part of the DCEU universe, so like we're probably gonna recast everything. And I don't understand why James Gunn didn't do this, but like just let him end it. Like, you know, like I mean, you know, it was heavily rumored Ben Affleck was gonna be an Aquaman. Just let them give them the proper ending then, instead of doing reshoots and like being like, we're going to confuse the audience. I'm like, we all know this is ending. Just treat it like an ending then.
Aquaman was definitely like, ba-da, ba-da, ba-da. And there was some like James Wan things, like horror things. Right. And I was like, oh, I believe. All right, spoiler. Are you going to see it? Are you going to see Aquaman?
I'm going to see it, but I don't care. Like, I don't care at this point.
I don't care either.
The fact that they didn't kill the baby, I think
I was wondering if they were going to do it.
I think he was going to kill the baby. There's some scenes where it's like, and like Black Manta's like more like menacing. There's a scene where he's at Aquaman's house and Aquaman's dad is in the front and you see Black Manta's eyes in the background.
Cool.
And it's Black just like the red eyes. He's about to murder his father. It was like in the baby's right. There's, as you can tell, James Gunn had his horror elements in there. But Orm should have been Aquaman. He looks every part of the scene where he like, well, he's like looking and he's like in the distance on like a thing, and I'm like, holy shit, he's an Aquaman. Oh, he's your Aquaman.
Patrick Wilson should have been the choice. Yeah, oh, interesting.
But Orm is like, Aquaman is like, they can switch. And Jason Momoa is obviously Lobo. He's Lobo. I just, even.
You
even
look at that man, you're like, just paint him white and he's Lobo. Give him a motorcycle and a cigar.
He's Lobo. It's a Lobo and Aquaman movie.
He loves riding bikes too, so that's even perfect.
Bro, there's a scene where he's riding the bike in front of his kid, and I'm like,
I mean, like, let's be upfront, right? Like in the Snyder Cut, he's literally going down a bridge, drinking whiskey, listening to Nick Cave. Like, I mean, that's Lobo energy right there. Like,
that's Lobo energy. But I see the Aquaman he could be, but no harpoon hand and no kill beam. That's interesting. What I'm saying. But I also think James Wan was a good, like, I can see what he's done, the world building and stuff like that. I think it's a buddy cop underwater movie with Frank and Black Manta was great. And it's just like, it's still like, amazing to me that, he's, bro, I don't know what.
I love him.
He should be Black Panther. I want him to be Black Panther.
That'd be a get for Marvel.
He has to be, he's really good. But his Black Manta was ultimate hater. I believed it. He was the ultimate hater, but I still can't believe we have. It's crazy. Black Manta, his actual comic book accurate suit.
He looked great. I was telling people like I'm gonna go watch it, but like honestly, it's mostly gonna be for Yaya just because he just looks so like gorgeous in those trailers. Cool and badass. Listen. Like
the scene where he's like you see his eyes and he's about to murder his dad. I'm like, bro. Give me a Black Panther movie. Give me it. And then, like, I mean, 4DX would have enhanced it. Like, the 4DX would have enhanced the movie if you didn't want to see the movie.
Yeah.
4DX would have enhanced it. But I think that's just aesthetically, like, I'm surprised we have an Aquaman 2. It's crazy. Aquaman made $1 billion. That's crazy to me.
That is crazy. That's still wild. Yeah. That is, yeah.
But he's in it's a comic book movie. It's basically comic book as a comic book movie can. But he didn't kill the baby. That's all I'm mad about. That's it. But also, Mira looked cool. Mira did her air bending, and I was like, oh!
Oh, she did more bending? Water bending and stuff?
Oh my god, it was sick! She making tornadoes, I was like, she's doing all kinds of stuff. She was like, woo! I was like, yes! I love Mira, fun fact. Fun fact, Mira's dope. I think Mira's dope. It just,
yeah,
but it's
she's
crazy.
Really fucking cool.
That's all. But you could tell the studios were meddling and handling with the things.
Yeah, yeah.
But they should just let him just rock out. But it was great. It was great. Aquaman was solid. It was solid.
Oh, cool.
It was solid. It was solid. Solid's not bad. Solid's not bad. I thought it could be worse, but it's fine.
Right, right.
But also, like,
I mean, it's really funny, like, how, yeah, like, you know, okay is just bad nowadays. I'm like, movies can be okay. There can be a middle. Like, you know, like Shazam, yeah, 2, like, everyone talked about how bad that was. I was like, what is it? Like, I mean, it's not great, but, like, it's, I didn't hate watching it. It just, you know, but it's not bad either. Like, you know, it's just, it's fine. Like,
but I think the sense of mediocrity will, like, fade in your memory, because if a movie's really good, you will remember it. If a movie's really bad, you're gonna remember it.
Well, that's my thing, like, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, because, like, yeah, okay movies is probably the worst you can be, because, again, it's just not memorable. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, I don't remember really anything of Shazam, and I don't really remember much about most Marvel movies unless it's, like, a character.
Damn.
I gave a fuck on. I'm being dead ass.
Shazam 1 had that horror.
No, but that's fair. Like, no, like, if you, yeah, you remember a movie you fucking hate, you were going to remember it. Yeah. Like, yeah, but, like, an okay movie, you're going to be like, whatever,
like,
out of sight, out of mind.
Like, I don't go out of my way to watch a movie I hate, so, like, it's either movies I really love or, well, most of it's just mediocrity. Like, I don't really remember. Unfortunately, I'm not like Tevin, who loves everything.
That's not true. I don't dislike everything. I just don't like.
First off, Diego. Okay, Diego, I'm gonna be dead ass with you.
Oh boy,
if
here we go.
If you look through his Twitter or his Facebook, everything is always an 8 or above, or 10. It's like the greatest thing since blah blah blah.
Right.
All
right.
First off,
if I don't like something, I don't talk about it. I don't fucking.
That's fair. Bullshit.
That's not true.
He talks about everything he's watched.
That's not true.
He talks about everything he watched.
Oh, no. Are we witnessing the end of the podcast?
No, I don't. People are like, oh, you like everything. No, I don't. I just have time to shit. I know people work on these things, and I'm like, okay.
It's okay to shit on them, because at the end of the day, these people didn't put their millions of dollars. They had to work, and they worked.
True. But, like, if I don't like something, I'm like, I'm not going to be like, I don't like it.
Oh, you know, like, I'm going to be like, dead ass. I would say that.
When I was young and angry, dude, like, I used to be, like, loud. I used to be loud about what I hated. Like, I'll tell you right now, I won't get into it, but it's like, I do not like Quentin Tarantino. I do not like Rob Zombie. I do not like Wes Anderson. And, like, I could get on my little platform and talk about how much I don't like their movies. But, like, and I used to do that when I was younger. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. That's not fulfilling to me anymore. It's just, that's not fun to be down. Like,
So, like, for the Diego, like, I don't go online and shit talk. Like, I don't do that, because at the end of the day, I've learned from many instances, like, no matter what you say, people's minds will never get changed. I'm only ever verbal
in
this podcast or in front of Tevin. But
and
that's
fair,
it. Because, but, like, me, like, going online, like, I'm not going to argue with people, because That's an endless cycle that you will never win.
I'm a DCEU fan, and I get argued all the time. I just like the movies.
That's the thing too, right? I used to get when those movies were reaching their heights, and I was just hitting those arguments all the fucking time. I would tear my hair out, because I get tired, guys. Like, I got tired after a while. I'm just like, look, man, like, I know why I love these movies. I'm going to give myself a space, which is why I made those videos. And I'm like, all I need to say about it is over there. Like, I'm done with the discourse. Like, I'll have fun talking about them. But, like, if you're going to be judging my taste, I'm I can't do this. I can't. No.
I just like movies. I just want to enjoy it. And then, like, if I don't talk about it, I'm just like, okay, cool.
But see, this is why people say they enjoy watching our podcast, is because they say, and this is what one of my friends said, that Tevin's good cop, I'm bad cop.
I like that. That's the dynamic. Yeah, I can see that.
But I'm just like, if I hate something, I'm like, it's not stuff I hate, but, like, comic book stuff. I'm like, I have my comics, and I'm like, I have them. I have my comics, but I want to see what this person does. I want to see what somebody else does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just like, cool. But, like, for me, the DC just did more of, like, the,
a lot of swerving. Yeah.
Look, the one thing I will never forgive DC is the fact that, in Suicide Squad, Lizard. What was his name?
Oh, Killer Croc.
Killer Croc. Yeah, his one wish was BET. I thought that was the cringiest shit I've ever saw in a superhero movie.
Weirdly stereotypical. I'm just kind of like, why are we saying that? Like, okay, like let's get under the makeup. Why are we saying this? Let's think about this.
Oh, and then, okay, and then let's go to Marvel side. All right, because this is one thing I can't forgive. It's okay. The fact that the Falcon and Winter Soldier show, the fact that he gets pulled over by Baltimore cops. I'm like, bro, that scene was the most cringiest, weirdest scene ever. Because, all right, in his movie adaptations, everything is fine. It's like, yes, I'm a hero, blah, 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 nothing. But, okay, the fact that he's in Baltimore in a beat-up neighborhood, he gets pulled over by cops and their guns. I'm like, bro.
To clarify, so you're talking about Falcon getting pulled over. Like, Anthony Mackie gets pulled over?
Because they were like, finding for serum projects.
Okay.
And the guy was living in a beat up neighborhood, and he had to get pulled over by Baltimore PD, and Anthony Mackie's character was driving.
And that was
the height of like the BLM movements and all that stuff. Right. So I feel like Kevin Feige was like, yeah, let's do this.
We gotta be topical. We gotta talk about this. But like and that's my thing, it's just like there's a place in time. Fucking Falcon and Winter Soldier is not a place to talk about that. Like, you know what I mean? That is not the time to talk
about
that.
They're literally a buddy cop. Like, that's the whole reason why I was into it, because of their interactions prior. I was like, oh, they work well together. Okay, now they gotta add this weird shit. Because, like, the cool thing about that show, they introduced Mandipur. And I was like,
Magikor is crazy. And I was like, oh, cool. But, I mean, MCU is MCU, but MCU. But I just personally just like, look, if I hate it, I'm just meh. I'm not gonna. Yeah. Also, I don't need to.
I'm a big stiffer when it comes to like unnecessary forced racist, like racial stuff in movies and TV shows. Like I hate
when it's like
that
very
shit.
Disingenuous and stuff like that.
Well,
like,
it's such an old stereotype where I'm like, we don't need to add this here at all. Like, everyone loves these characters. Like, we don't have to like. I don't know. Like, especially tonal wise in a Marvel movie. It just doesn't match or fit.
Well, I know what you mean. Like, I don't know. It's such a weird thing when it comes to race and media. Because, like, I'm Mexican. And, like, it's a weird thing when, like, when people come to me and they tell me things about, like, oh, you know, were you offended by certain things that were happening in X, Y, and Z or whatever. And I'm like, it depends what the depiction is. Because it's like, I mean, because there are, like, hard facts about being a Hispanic and Latino growing up in L.A. Like, you know, I have family that live in East L.A. that's, like, gangbanger shit, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I mean, for lack of a better word. But then also they're like, and they're like, it's weird because there's just weird multiplexities of it, because it's like, I'm Mexican but I have like light skin, you know, and like, and that's stuff that's not really like talked about too much in terms of like, and I don't mean to make this about racial stuff, it's just my point being is it's just so complicated and it's so nuanced that it's like a bunch of white people doing comic book shows. They don't. It's not their place to talk about this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's basically where I'm getting at. Like,
and plus, like, you know, I can say at least this is just straight up pettiness. Like, there's no Puerto Rican like aspect in TV shows or like comic books and stuff like that. And it sucks because like when they do, it's usually a side character or just, I hate it. Cause like, I'm like, come on, man. Like I want at least one Puerto Rican. And the fact that we get one, oh, she's an extraterrestrial being from a different dimension where they're all women. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, did you guys see Blue Beetle?
I saw it six times.
So wow. Like, you know, that movie was very interesting to me because I've had very like fascinating conversations about that movie because it's very it's very standard, like, you know, by the book, like formulaic. But like for me, and again, like going back to the Mexican stuff, like I appreciated the Mexican flavoring. Like I wish it dived a little bit more into the stuff. That's badass. That's pretty cool. But like there were elements of there where I appreciated that, you know, it was a Latino director. There was the crew involved were very Hispanic and Latino based. The casting crew, like there was a lot of like, it felt a lot more genuine in that regard. And I feel like that representation needs to be like really like genuine when it comes to stuff like that. When it comes to our media, you know,
I liked it a lot. If it had heart, man, it's one thing.
Yeah,
I love about
like
the movie.
It was that little like, was spicy like, flavor that made me go like,
okay. And then like how it ended and how it was just like, I was like, oh, they cared. They let him there was do a little bit,
yeah. I just wish that movie had more confidence. Like, when I was watching, I was like, man, like, there were some good themes in there. And I'm like, go forward, keep pushing, like, keep pushing, yeah, you know? Like, go for it, you know? But they kind of played it a little too safe for me.
I liked it a lot. Surprised me a lot, man. I saw it six times. I have a problem.
Yeah, because you're obligated because you got a tattoo and you had to convince yourself.
I didn't convince myself. I liked it. I liked Blue Beetle. I thought Blue Beetle was cool.
This is coming from, like, I'm the guy that's, like, again, I'm the big Marvel Margot Robbie stan. I saw Barbie 7 times. I saw Birds of Prey 7 times. I saw Tonya 6 times. Babylon 5.
Tonya's fire. She's like,
love that movie. Yes, that line, yes.
That was the coldest thing I've ever seen.
So don't feel embarrassed about multiple times.
Piece of shit.
Blue Beetle just had an impression on me. I was like, oh, great. Finally,
oh, Sebastian Stan in that movie? Oh, man, like, he's great.
Oh, that's
awful. Is that what you're talking about, Benny? Or, like, in I, Tonya?
Oh,
or, like,
yeah, in I, Tonya, yeah. Man. Like, her husband, oh, my God. Yeah,
Jeff Galooly? Like, that guy.
But, like, that whole story is just interesting. It's just like, damn, if she wasn't, like, in that shitty environment, she could have been the greatest.
That movie fascinates me because it's, like, I love watching it with different people because I, like, you know, when I took my mom... She remembered it when all that happened, right?
Yeah.
And that movie had no wavering for her. She was just like, no, she's awful. She did it. Like, she did it. It was all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean...
But then, like... And then when I watch with people... Well, here's the thing, too, though. When I watch people that weren't familiar with it, and they kind of just... I don't want to say they're taking the movie as at its word, but just kind of, like, objectively looking at the facts, there's a little bit more leeway. But it's just so funny of, like, generationally, you just realize, like, when they were caught up in the social, like, the media sensationalist of that whole whole story... They're very adamantly like, fuck Tonya Harding. But then when you kind of reach the like the younger or less familiar with it, it's a little bit more of like, I don't know. It's a little bit more questionable. It's so, that movie's so fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved it. Go see it. Blue Beetle.
Hulu.
Please go see Blue Beetle.
Oh, yeah.
Go see Blue Beetle. It's fire. Go see it. Slice your Max. Mm-hmm. Max 1. It's number 1. Number 2 now, Max said. Go see it. Please. And Slam Dunk. First Slam Dunk. Go see that. Anime movies have been fired this year. All right. Before we wrap up, I got to ask you some questions. Okay.
Yes.
All right. What's your favorite movie of the year?
Do you care if I just give you my top three? Because it's hard for me to pick.
Two.
Okay. Because I have three. It's hard because I find that it's harder and harder for me to just pick one. So it's like, for me, time is the biggest judgment. So it's like, I'm going to see what lasts out of the three, but but right now these are the three I'm feeling. So Barbie, Saltburn, and Talk to Me.
Talk to Me was fire.
Talk to Me is really fucking good. Saltburn's like, that's a fucking wild movie. Did you see Promising Young Woman?
Yes.
Same director. Emerald Fennell. Okay. She's my favorite. I think right now she's my favorite contemporary director right now because it's completely different from Promising Young Woman. That movie's fucking wild. Like, I mean, actually judging on this conversation, you might actually be really into it, dude, because it's twisted, it's fucked up, but
that movie was wild. I see my boy Jacob. I was like, oh, in a bathtub. I said, oh. We're in here.
The aftermath of that bathtub scene, let me tell you, dude. You're not gonna be ready for that.
Alright, we're in there. Cause I was like, yo, I'm with it. The cast and great. I'm with it.
It's a wild movie.
Talk to Me was great. What's your Benny? Your top three.
So probably just top three in general. And I don't want to sound like a fucking bandwagon. But Godzilla Minus One has to be there just for the simple fact that
I went
in there with zero expectation. And the only reason is because I saw an article that said it got extended to mid-December. Because I saw the film a couple weeks ago and I was like, you know what? I'm just hearing a bunch of praise. It's like, I got to go see this. Let me see this. Because this is somebody that's not like a Godzilla stan. So I went in there, not really expecting much. Went in there and I was just like, wow. This is the first time in a disaster horror, a monster movie that I gave a shit about the cast more than the monster itself. I was this is actually really fucking great. And it's a good story about PTSD and regret and the way that they handled Godzilla in every single moment that he was in. Never felt forced. was always there for the story, just never there just for the spectacle, like for a disaster. It was surprisingly really fucking well done.
Yeah, and I loved it. I'll chime in with you on that, Benny, because it's like that movie, like that, the hype for that movie is real. Like, you know, it's like, it's a weird thing to say for a Godzilla movie, but I like that he is treated like the monster in the background and it is the foreground with these characters. And like every time he popped up, it was pretty horrifying. Like I thought the boat scene was peak, but then like when he gets to the city and then like when he first does the atomic breath and you see people like lifting up in the air, I was like, I was mortified. Bro. I was like, oh.
And I heard like reports that like the way he did the atomic breath was almost as accurate as a real atomic bomb detonation of like how it's done or some shit. And obviously the Japanese know a lot about that, a fortune. But it also shows like the resilience and strong like just a strong core of like the Japanese people in its own world. Because I felt like that movie itself was just like a Japanese pride film. In the stuff, it's like, you know what? We went through two bombs, and then we went through this Godzilla shit. Like, we are strong and resilient, and I love that. Yeah. And it was so fucking well done. And then the score, absolutely one of the best scores I've heard. And obviously, it uses, old school, Toho, like, Godzilla shit, but it was phenomenal. And then another one is another atomic movie was Oppenheimer. I absolutely love it.
That's good.
I'm a big stan when it comes to fucking... Christopher Nolan, but obviously like I'm fascinated in war history.
Yeah.
And to see this biopic, whether it's accurate to the actual story or not, it was just phenomenal. And the fact that he said he did an atomic bomb without CGI, I looked through all the behind scenes and I'm like, that is fucking peak cinema. Like how just intriguing he did every single scene. And I don't know, just the complexity of the character itself. Like, you don't know whether you love him or hate him or like feel for him. It's like, it's just left ambiguous because like his entire role in that entire part of history is like the like apex point where like humans weren't powerful. And now humans are the most deadliest creature in the entire world at that point. And I guess I'm trying to think of other movies because, like, there was a lot of bad movies, but, like, there was a lot of, like, you know what? I feel like a scapegoat because I feel like I'm stealing your answer, but your movie, Talk to Me. Talk to Me was really fucking
great. Talk to Me is, like, really good.
Because, literally, it's a YouTuber, like, the YouTuber journey. Like,
Yeah. I felt like, the same way.
The fact that they showed little snippets of what it is inside of it was just horrifying. Especially where the kid who saw it? Like they saw him being tortured and ripped to pieces. Like that whole scene and then the ending.
Oh, the ending is great. I love the ending.
I have never like and I love when the movie makes you hate the main character. Because I thought the main character was an absolute piece of shit. Just because of all the choices she was doing. And, like, I get the premise, like, it's an addiction. She became an addict. And, literally, they played that addict role so well with the horror element. Where, like, she became basically just ignorant to the entire world around her. And she just wanted her fix. And, like, the ending of her, like, in that wooden room with all these, like, teenagers was just phenomenal. Because I was just like, oh, we see it from their point of view.
Dude, yeah,
that movie was surprising, and like that's all I can really say about it. But I think this year in movies, I kind of like gambled, and I didn't really see a lot of the big blockbusters. I kind of saw a lot of more of the low budget movies. Like even recently, like Iron Claw was really fucking great.
That's my number one.
I then saw the documentary, like the real life documentary, and I mean. They took a lot, but the reason why they took a lot was it. They said it would have been too painful for the viewers. But like that movie was very, very good. That was just an honorable mention.
Wrestling need more films. That's all I'm saying.
Listen.
Diego.
You're good.
What'd you say, Diego?
Oh, I was going to diverge the conversation, but I do want to hear your movies, but I do want to talk about wrestling because I'm a casual fan. I'm not a big fan, but I know you guys are wrestling guys. So I kind of want to like touch that a little bit.
Listen. Okay. I'm saying a Chris Benoit movie or Edgar Wright movie.
Chris Benoit would be crazy.
You can make an interactive universe out of that. You could do it. Because they all connect to each other. China, Chris Benoit, and Eddie all connect to each other in a certain kind of way. Their stories are tragic, and it will work together. Chris Benoit will be crazy. You start with that one first. Well, you start with Eddie first. Then you go to Chris Benoit. Then you go to China. Bow. And that's what you do. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
The Depression trilogy.
all those stories done by A24 only. A24
is Oh, my God.
Because Iron Claw, I was like, oh! I was cooked at the end. I was done. I was immediately. And the first time I've ever heard a story, I was like, oh, because I played the character in the game, and I didn't know who he was. And I was like, this character's the GOAT. He wrestles bare feet. What? Let's go!
And ready to get your heartbroken, kid?
Oh, bro, I was cooked. But wrestling, I don't know why I haven't tapped it. Like, all the wrestling movies I've ever seen were great. Like, Fighting with Family.
That was fun.
The Wrestler. All those movies are all like wrestling. Wrestling is an interesting thing.
My dream is like I would love to see like an El Santos movie. Really bad. Like a biopic on El Santos. That would be so fucking cool.
That would be dope too. I just think it's a tad. That's the next thing. I'm just saying. Wrestling Cinematic Universe is that's all I'm saying.
Right?
I'm just saying.
Don't do it, Tevin. No.
Yo, listen.
It only leads to bad things.
It's crazy because they're all connected. That's all I'm saying.
It all breaks your heart.
Yeah, and then Hulk Hogan, then Ric Flair, bro. Oh, woo! Woo! I'm just saying. Nobody has tapped it yet, but the Iron Claw is one of my. It's my number one. Blue Beetle's my number three. And the Godzilla's my number two. But Blue Beetle just was like, okay. I was not expecting the music from everything. I haven't had a deep dive of that in a long time, but also. Ninja Turtles was great.
Oh, that was fun.
Really great.
Also,
that was fun.
I don't know if you guys know this, but it's like one of the. It was a film I saw, obviously after it won Academy Award for Best Picture, but like you've seen Parasite, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like you heard what happened with the main actor.
Yeah, he died, or one of the actors, right? He died recently. Like, yeah. Right, like a week or two ago. Yeah.
Suicide. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, dude. Like, and like I think that one that movie was like. One of the catalysts, I think, for like foreign films being way more serious when it came to like being taken serious. But that movie was amazing, bro.
It
literally wasn't what you thought. I thought it was going to be a horror movie. It's like, no, it's kind of.
I did too, weirdly. Like that poster, I thought it was going to be. And then it was like kind of this funny, like satire on class and just like, and then like kind of, yeah, I don't know. But I agree with you. Like, I do think foreign films need more love. Like, I just saw this movie, and it's going to come out on Netflix if you guys haven't checked it out. Society of the Snow. Really good. It's about like a real life event of these soccer players that were traveling over to Chile, and the plane crashes, and they're stuck in like in the Andes in the middle of nowhere.
Really?
And it's a basic like survivor story. But it's the foreign aspect of it where they actually have like teeth to it. So you see like some messed up stuff and they visualize it like things you don't even think about. Like, you know, when the plane crashes, you know, in a typical Hollywood movie, they're going to cut away. But like you actually like experience it and you see like the bones crunching and it is harrowing. It is a harrowing movie. It's great, though. It's a great fucking movie. I highly recommend it.
Have you seen Yellow Jackets?
I haven't. No. The Christina Ricci one, right?
You should watch it.
I'll check it out.
There's a premise that happens in that movie. It happens in that movie. That happens in the show.
Oh, interesting. Plane crash
and girls are stranded and mystical things are happening and cannibalism.
Okay. I heard about that. Yeah.
Cannibalism and other things that it sounds like your movie and it is different. It's a little different.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, but I think you would enjoy Yellow Jackets. It's mind-blowingly wild. And then the 90s, if you ever... Any 90s girl from the 90s is in it.
Great. All the sweethearts. Okay.
All of them, and it's just mystical stuff, craziness. Elijah Wood is in it. I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Elijah Wood is in it. It's crazy. It's everything you ever wanted, but it's dope.
Is he eating people again, like in Sin City?
It's crazy. It's crazy dynamics, but we have to ask you every time
it comes
the show...
out Thursday. And okay. It comes out Thursday on okay. Netflix.
Yeah, we'll yeah check it out. Check. Yeah, because I got to see, I got a chance to go see it in theaters and it was great. But yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. We have to ask you. We usually yes. ask, is there any questions you have for us that we usually turn on?
So, oh man. So, what can I ask you guys? How are you guys feeling now after so many episodes of doing your podcast? Because I know this was like something you guys have been doing for a couple of years now. Like, if there's anything you guys have been learning while doing this?
I hate Tevin.
Damn.
So I don't work with your friends?
No, just everybody's different, man. Everybody's so different. Everybody has an interesting story. You know, it's just like, everybody's like a book. It's crazy. It's just so, I love to see their beginning, middle, and eventually their end or what happens. But it's just like, everybody has their thing that I like.
Okay.
That they light up when they talk about. And it's crazy to just like hear them talk about things they love. And go, and they're like, "Oh, we're going on too long." No, just talk. I just love hearing. I love hearing people talk about what they love. It's just interesting. I don't care about knitting socks. Why do you like knitting socks? What's the deal? It's just everybody has their own thing, and it's interesting to see like somebody talk about their stuff, and you let them talk, and you're just like, "Oh, okay. How do we get?" It's interesting to see how to talk about. It's gonna be the weirdest thing ever.
But okay.
I also like people are we are like in certain kind of ways. Like it's crazy. It's crazy.
Cool.
It's crazy.
I get surprised that like people, and like this is not like doubting our ability to bring on a good show. People actually listen, and it's not like people like messaging me online. It's like people that I know in person will come up to me and be like, "Oh, wow. Why'd you gotta trash my show like that or movie like that?" And I was just like, "What? You actually listened to it?" I was like, "What?"
It's so crazy, bro. It's so crazy.
That's cool.
It's cool. And people like you know, like will always just message and I don't know. It's fun or ask us like, "Who's your next guest going to be?" Because the last one was pretty freaking cool. I'm curious. It's awesome. That aspect that like the community actually comes out of nowhere and just like I'm like, wow, okay. Because that always like reassures me where I'm like, okay, people actually listen, and I love that shit so much.
Very cool.
And I love just being like uncomfortable the whole time. It's crazy. I just love everything because I don't know a lot about like gay, straight, trans. I learned about everything, a way of life, OnlyFans, just gay, straight, like lesbian, everything, like everybody, every course of like life of just like. Like, I'm afraid to, like, talk about. People are talking about a lot. Like, I don't know much about a lot of things. I'm just like, oh, cool. I'm down. Interesting perspectives of everybody else different. It's just so interesting just to be like, fuck. Like, it's cool. Like, that's why I like Geek History doesn't draw me too much because it's like, I don't, even the stuff I didn't like, Star Trek or whatever, I'm just drawn to how you can convey it to me and make me listen to an hour about it. Like, I used to play that word for people, all types of stuff. Like, it's so cool. It's just so cool. Podcast is so cool.
That's fun. That's awesome. Let's see. I'm going to try to come up with some last questions. So, Benny, I want to know your origin story as a writer. Like, what got you into it? What do you write about? I want to hear you talk about it, man.
Let's go.
Well, okay. So, I guess I won't hold back, but delved into a heartbreak, being, you know, breaking up from your first love. And they always say this is the hardest one, and it was. Losing friends.
I feel that, man.
Of like just bickering and stuff like that. Like I felt isolated and alone, and my therapist so told me like writing things down is like a good tool. And I wrote some stuff down and I was like, you know, I kinda like this, but like I fucking hate my handwriting. So I was just like out of nowhere, I was like, you know what? I'm buying myself a laptop. I'm buying myself a MacBook. I'm doing it. And I did that. And I was like, you know what? I'm getting Word. I'm getting Microsoft Word Office. Like, I'm being dead ass serious. And I got all that. And I started writing. And I was like, you know, this is really feeling really good. And then just like things start happening throughout my life. And it started inspiring me to write different stories, whether it's something fantasy based or like historical fiction. And I was listening to a lot of like old school rock and roll, and it sparked me to write my very first book called Benny Boy, and it's a romantic comedy. And
two books.
Yes, two books.
Love
and then
that,
this
dude.
Is my
That's awesome.
Collection of short story. But I also have stuff to, I have stuff not jotted down. My biggest inspiration, author that inspired me was Stephen King, and he has a slight loose connected universe where it's not overwhelming, where you can read the book and you totally would just not even notice reference. It'll be like little reference here, like a town's name, a character's name, or like a location's name. And I've been doing that with a lot of stuff that I've been writing currently, where I'm mentioning things of previous books and stuff like that, because I want people who read my shit to enjoy the ride and be like, oh crap, like I get it. This is somewhat in the same world or some shit like that. I don't know. I've been having a lot of fun. The biggest issue is just being consistent with writing, how you are with projects and stuff like that. A lot of my writing comes from free time, and I need to start developing a deadline and stuff like that to help me, because bro, a lot of my ideas, and I don't like boosting my own ego, but a lot of my ideas are so fucking interesting and cool. It's just I'll write a first chapter just to do it, and then I'm like, fuck, I need to complete this. I owe it to myself to complete certain things, because I have two series that I want to write. I have a lot of solo one-off stories, and I'm like, Ben, you just need to get it done and do it, because a big thing with writers is the writers have a shit ton of manuscripts that are just buried away.
Right.
Buried away. And I want to get to a point where I'm like that, where I'm like, okay, this I can release this time. Because I'm always about releasing things on certain time frames. This, I released this during the summer of 2021 or 22. And it was during 4th of July because it fit the theme. It was in Texas, hot, warm weather. And I don't know. Timing is big for me, and I'm just rambling. I love writing.
Hey, well, no, hey, man. It's cool. Look, this is all a podcast of tangents. And I thank you for answering that question, because I wanted to hear it about it, man. But you know what I will say too, you know, and there's nothing wrong with tooting your own horn, because I had to learn this. It took me a decade to learn this. Your biggest fan has to be yourself, right? Otherwise, why the fuck are you doing this? Because you have to actually think you're doing the reality is, selfishly, this is what you want to do. You want to, I did these video essays because I fucking wanted to talk about Zack Snyder. I wanted to talk about Margot Robbie, and I'm not going to be on a podcast to talk about them. Now it's happening, but I had to create that for myself, you know. You have to make books for yourself, you know, to make yourself I'm a fucking writer, man. And that's the biggest takeaway I've gotten from Ashley and Jason, of just I am a writer. There's no beating the bush around it. You know, there's no reason to be coy or shy about it, right? You have to be your own biggest fan, because nobody else is going to do that for you.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. But thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you.
Thank you guys for inviting me. This was a blast.
Hey, yo, listen, anytime you want to come on, promote your whatever you're promoting, video essay, talk about movies.
Okay.
We gotta do a horror movie episode.
We should do a horror movie episode. That'd be fun.
I want Ashley on too. We talk about horror movies. If you ask me, it's everybody.
I thought about that too. I want to talk to her about that, because I always forget that she's into horror movies, because we'll have conversations, random conversations, and I'm like, oh right. And then I'm like, God damn, we gotta do something.
Yeah, we gotta have a horror movie episode. I'm gonna figure Avengers horror movie episode. I'm gonna get a team together. We're gonna talk about horror movies. But we asked you, the question is, what are you reading and what are you listening to? That's the last question we asked.
Okay. So listening to as in music or
Yep.
Okay. So right now I am on a big, usually my default is industrial. So I usually listen to a lot of industrial goth music. So what was I just listening to? Usually Birthday Massacre is my big default band that I love. It's this Canadian sort of dark wave band that has sort of an 80s throwback to them. So they're usually my default, or I'll listen to who else am I in the mood? I don't know. I'm usually all over the place, because I have a playlist of all my favorite bands, and then I'll just have that revolving around. So it's if it's not Maynard James Keenan or Insane Clown Posse or just, you know, it's all over the place for me. But yeah, so I have defaults.
I like it.
Reading, I just started The Invisible Man, the book. Because I love the original Universal Monster movie. He's like my favorite Universal monster. So I was hearing really good stuff about the book, and I've had it in my shelf for like a long time, and I haven't read it. So I was like, you know what? Let me start that. So I started reading some of that. And then I'm also reading, like, comic book wise, I'm reading, I'm getting into X Factor. So I'm reading like the like when Apocalypse first appeared and stuff like that. So like I'm reading some of that stuff, and that's been pretty fun.
Okay, nice. All right, tell us where they can find you and what you are doing. If you're doing anything popular, if you want to promote anything.
You could find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, all under the same name, BlackCrow521. And you can find me, follow me on social medias there. I have my YouTube channel where I do certain video essays where there are certain topics I want to talk about. So it's like, I have one. My first one is sort of like my janky one, like my practice run where I did it dedicated to Hispanic culture and their influence on pulp culture. I have one devoted to Margot Robbie about like basically my emotional journey, but also talking about her as an artist and like why I love her. And then I have my epic trilogy that I just released this year, basically doing all the Zack Snyder movies of Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and Justice League. I'm already kind of planning some stuff for next year that I'm kind of planning, and we're loosely talking about, but it might tie into one of a geek history lesson episode. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know quite yet, but there's a little bit of a tease for you there. And hey. I'm gonna release a quick video, and I'll have fun. I'll tease it here. I'm going to do a quick video in a couple of weeks about my favorite movies of the year. So and I already kind of teased some of that here, talking about our favorite movies. So I'm going to resurrect that.
Go.
So, yeah. So those are some of the projects I'm cooking up.
Oh, nice. All right, Benny, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Benny J. Blanco and on the Twitter X, whatever you like to say, Elon Musk land, the Benny J. Blanco. But what about yourself, Taylor? A sailor?
Taylor.
Ooh.
Taylor. You can find me at SailorGaze18. TikTok, everywhere, your mom's house. I'm all over, okay? SailorGaze18. You can find me anywhere. We love you. Drink your water. Have a great day. Diego, what's
up? Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's, everybody.
What is your give me your advice for the day. Anything. You'd be like, if somebody owes you money or whatever, call them out. Anything you want to know.
Oh my God. You want me to write in the morning? No, to come up with some advice. I guess to just say, be kind to yourself, man. Like, I mean, I guess the advice I gave earlier talking about the Benny, where I was just saying like, be your own biggest fan, because nobody else is going to be as, you know, nobody's going to care as much as you are. So.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Thank you so much for coming on. Comment, rate, subscribe, hit down that likeness. We are dropping this episode soon, maybe next week or the next following week. But this episode is dropping. Hit the like button, share. Tell your mom and dad we love you. Have a great day. Bye.
Peace. Bye, everybody.